No, I've hit it. I've done it. I've hit record.
You've done it now.
You're in the driver's seat, Cody. You're in charge of making sure I'm breaking all the rules, Cody. Look at what I'm doing right now.
Oh, are your shoes coming? Tyler, you can't remove your boots. Your feet will fall off.
I know. They're held together by these boots. Cody.
What? Are you here? You're lying down. Why?
We're going to have our therapy session right now.
Okay.
Hit me with your thing.
Welcome to Opinion Havers.
Hold on, let me just adjust here. Welcome, everybody, to Opinion Havers Podcast.
A movie podcast. I'm Tyler. For people who spend a lot of time in their basements. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
What is happening?
Cody, we're having a time here, man.
All right.
We're having a moment.
I'm talking to the back of your head.
You're talking to the top of my head. How dare you?
What do we watch, Tyler?
We watched The Screaming of the Lambs.
The Screaming of the Lambs.
Yep.
Tyler, what is that?
Can I have complete silence for 1 second here?
Yeah.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what is that?
It's a movie.
Yeah?
Oh, you wanted more? It's a movie about a cannibal serial killer finding or helping to find or not actually helping to find, unclear, a Skinner serial killer. Mm-hmm. And Jodie Foster has a tiny face.
Yeah.
Did you want the actual 30-second
thing? No, that was perfect. I just, for those who didn't know, that was perfect.
He eats people.
Yeah.
He's Hannibal Lecter.
For fun.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Fun fact, Hannibal Lecter is actually based on Anthony Hopkins. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, he got knighted for something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been eating people. He was also in Transformers The Last Night.
He was also in another movie reviewed. The Elephant Man.
Oh.
As the good guy. And in this movie, he is a bad guy.
Was he the good guy? He was the doctor, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was so nice.
That's right. I was asked, who was he? He was the doctor. It's weird because he's young and...
He was a good doctor in that one, and he's young. In this one, he's a crazy doctor, and he's old.
But he's very good at his job, so he's a good doctor.
The good doctor, Hannibal Lecter.
Yes. Cody?
Yeah?
How did this movie make you feel?
It made me feel really good.
Did it?
I like the mystery of it. There's some fun, intense moments and thriller elements. But also, it's about something, and I really appreciate that. Like, it's more than just a movie about finding a serial killer. It's a movie about Jodie Foster being a woman in, like, a man's job kind of thing. Like, she's surrounded by men at her job, and she's trying to be, like, become a special agent in the FBI, and everyone treats her different because she's a woman. And it's interesting to see that dynamic play while she tries to solve the murders. I think that's what helped this movie stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't care about any of that. Now, let's talk about Hannibal Lecter. Let's talk about...
You can't lie down and cross your legs.
Oh, you knew
point at me.
That this was happening, Cody. Let's talk about American Dad Roger's impression of Jodie Foster in this film and how spot on it is. So there's a scene. I don't remember.
Are you telling me you have seen American Dad?
Yes.
I did not even know. I didn't know anyone watched that show.
I watched that show all the time. Or that I used to.
So much sense.
So he's doing something and he's like, oh, I gotta be all dramatic. Show my drama chops. And he's like, you're very perceptive, doctor. What are you? Brave enough to point that high-powered periscope at yourself or something.
Uh-huh.
He says it perfectly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. This is what it's from. It's a very dumb and out of place line in my opinion. But it's very iconic. Thoughts?
I'm so glad you got to find the origin of American Dad.
Just that one scene.
Thoughts on that scene? Oh, just that one scene from American Dad?
Yeah. Can I tell you the first quote on IMDb for this film before we get into your 20 pages of notes?
Yeah.
Starling Crawford wants to see you in his office.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir.
Shut up. That's the quote? Someone posted that on a quote for the movie?
Yes.
A memorable quote from the movie?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
How?
Because she says it like, sir.
I don't understand. Like, what other lines of dialogue are in this?
I mean, there's a lot. Most of them are any line Hannibal Lecter says.
Yeah.
But that's like, if you don't click into the quotes section, what it tells you.
Just the taste of what's to come in the quote section.
A taste.
Hey, go see that guy. Be all right.
Tell me, Cody.
Yeah.
How many notes do you have about this movie?
Only 14.
Oh.
How many do you have?
None. Paid attention to the film, Cody. Mm-hmm. It's all here. It's like a steel trap.
I don't know if I like laying down, Tyler.
Cody, hold my hand.
You're too far.
I am not too far.
You are, see? You can't see because you're lying down.
Exactly. Are we still recording? You're in the driver's seat. I can't see anything
yeah,
anymore.
Okay. Yeah, we're recording.
Both mics are going.
This is a podcast.
Yes. We make money from this. Millions of dollars an episode.
Jerry Seinfeld money.
Exactly. Cody.
Yeah.
Dissect this movie for me.
Are you inviting me to get wheeled away on my
are you
dolly
of
my restraint dolly? What?
You wanted to go there. You wanted to go to the spoiler pit.
I really do, yeah.
I can't do the Buffalo Bill voice when I'm laying down. So you gotta suck the neck into the neck to do the Buffalo Bill voice, and I can't do it right now. But yeah, let's put your face mask on, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You just slip it right on there. Can I get a little... There we go. That's good. That's good. That's nice. I like that. Wheel you into the weirdly small airplane to go meet a senator in the middle of nowhere who is wearing a fur coat next to another doctor who is also wearing a fur coat.
So this movie's about murder.
Is it?
Yeah, there are murders.
No one gets murdered.
What do you want to know? You tell me what you want to know,
Tyler. I want to know how in the world they could look at Anthony Hopkins with some ketchup on his face and think, this is Bill, my friend of 35 years. Officer Bill, you'll be fine.
It's one of those things where it's such like an iconic moment in a movie that I wonder at the time when it was in the theater how many people caught it because... You know, I've seen this movie before, and I've seen the scene in The Office where Dwight wears the CPR dummy's face as a mask, you know, like, and so I think everyone knows about it, and when you look at it from a distance, and you've seen it before, you're like, well, that's Anthony Hopkins' physique, you can tell.
Well, I'm talking about, hair. There's one scene where it's, like, he's supposed to have the face on it, but I don't think they actually put the face on him, it's just Anthony Hopkins' face.
Yeah, but how about when he takes the face off?
When he takes the face off, that's why when I saw that scene, that's when I was like, he definitely didn't have it on before.
Yeah.
Because it looks real intensely different with the face on. And he does have it. It's like perfectly on, which at the moment, I was like, this is super impressive. And now that I think about it, I'm like, all they had to do is make a really bad prosthetic.
Yeah.
That he could just pull off. But they nailed it.
Yeah, they did. Anthony Hopkins, I mean, performance of his career for sure.
Oh, how dare you, sir.
He does so well.
Have you seen
Transformers?
Transformers. The Last Night.
I've not had the pleasure. Do you have the extended cut we could watch right now?
No, I only have Age of Extinction. I need to buy Last Night.
You're really slacking over here, Tyler.
Look, I only have the one. Can I tell you though something though, Cody? I missed buying the Steelbook for Fantastic Beasts 2.
Why?
Because I have all the Harry Potter movies.
Do you like the Fantastic Beasts movies?
I haven't seen the second one, but it's part of the collection, so I have to get the Steelbook. Now, I missed it. What my hope is, they're going to restock it. Mm-hmm. But it's a gamble, you see. Because it's more expensive now, like on Amazon. But yeah. If I just wait till they restock it, it'll be way cheaper. But if I wait too long, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
And these are the games we play. You know what I mean?
It's the gamble you have to take when you live in a free market.
Yeah.
You know, if we were living in Russia in the 80s, you would just have to take whatever copy of Fantastic Beasts they had at the grocery store that day, and that was your chance to buy it, and then it was over.
Cody, it took her 30 seconds to break a rule at that hospital.
Yeah.
I timed it.
Wasn't that cool?
She, like, instantly approached the glass. I don't think it actually took her 30 seconds, because I stopped. I was so shocked, I forgot to stop the timer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like she walked up, and then he's like, show me your credentials. She showed him, which it's iffy if that's breaking the rules. And then he's like, closer. She puts her hand out. Closer. And then she steps forward. No, like, no. You know, like, I'd rather not. Like, don't approach the glass. Approach the glass, please. Okay. I'm like,
is it not indicative of her desire to do a good job and excel and impress her boss? It's good writing, Tyler.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Her accent... You want to talk about inconsistent accents in movies, Cody?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't.
Enough said.
Tyler, I know for a fact you're only an expert on the Texas accent.
Yeah.
And she has a West Virginia accent.
I'll have you know that I was born and raised in Virginia. Not West Virginia.
West Virginia just had no respect for itself, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, so what? I'll be West Virginia, you'll be East Virginia. Virginia's like, no. I'm Virginia. Look, you're the other one.
West Virginia is a bunch of cowards. They refuse to secede with the rest of the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think they got what was coming to them.
Look at the Dakotas. You got North Dakota, you got South Dakota.
Yeah.
They might as well be one state, you know? You tell me three things that are unique to North Dakota and three things that are unique to South Dakota, and I'll be okay with this.
One's north and one's south.
Very good.
One has Mount Rushmore, the other one doesn't.
Uh-huh.
That's all I got.
One has a Coen Brothers movie takes place in it, the other one doesn't. I just proved myself wrong.
You did.
Wow.
You got it. You played yourself.
I always do.
How long have we been recording, Cody? And how long have we talked about the movie?
It's been...
That's good. I'm glad.
2 hours.
I'm happy with those numbers. Continue to regale me with this movie, Cody.
This movie ruined the song American Girl for me by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Rest in peace.
What?
You remember Tom Petty? How he had a band and they were called the Heartbreakers?
Yeah.
You know the girl? She's riding in the car. She's having a good old time. She's heading home. She's singing American Girl because she's an American girl. Remember mm-hmm. that? You recall the moment?
Yes. So
I saw this movie the first time like 2 or 3 years ago, but I did see like 6 minutes of it on cable TV once. And 4 of the 6 minutes I saw was she's driving in the car. She's singing American Girl. I'm like, wow, this is a great song. And then there's a dude watching her from outside her apartment complex. Turns out, spoiler alert, he's a killer. She's singing that song, and then she goes, and then she gets napped.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, like, I couldn't, I could never enjoy that song. I was like, if I'm singing this song, I'm just tempting fate that there's going to be a serial killer waiting to kidnap me when I get home. Yeah. You know how I feel? Did you feel that way?
No.
Why not?
Because she was a senator's daughter.
And you're just the senator's son.
I mean, no. No. I didn't think about the song.
Okay. Here's the other thing this movie ruined for me.
What did it ruin?
It ruined casts. Helping strangers with things because she helps the guy put a couch into his van.
Yeah, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's, you know,
little Bill
kind of goads her into going into the van, and then he pushes her back in the van, then he punches her, so she...
He beats her with a cast.
Yeah, and then he steals her.
He does steal her.
So that's the part I saw on cable TV. Like 6 months after I saw that part, I was at a Best Buy. I was leaving the Best Buy, and there was a guy who was like, hey, I need your help. He needed help putting something in his vehicle, and I was like, nope.
Did he say, that's hey, something, or did he say, hurt?
That's something hurt. Serial killers do.
Hurt. Did he say it like that?
Exactly, yeah. He had a super old couch. He had no business loading up at 8 p.m.
It was a chair, really.
It was a love seat, sir.
Was it?
It had two cushions. What do you call that? You call a chair have two cushions?
I don't remember two cushions. One cushion for each cheek. How dare you?
I don't think so.
I remember one cushion.
Two cushions, sir.
That was like one of those chair and a halfs that you buy at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Goes with a love seat and a couch. You get the love seat, you get the couch, you get the chair and a half. It's a whole set.
Nope, you're wrong.
Yes,
you're
I am correct.
It's a love seat.
That was a tiny love seat. He picked it up by himself. Very
light love seat that he picked
up by himself. It's a super tiny love seat. I don't know what love seats you got. I'm laying down on one of your couches. Your couches weigh roughly 10,000 pounds each.
That's true.
And you're sitting here talking about this guy one hand in a love seat?
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. He has superhuman strength. Moth powers is what I'm talking about.
He is Mothra. I don't want to talk about the love story between the senator's daughter and Precious, really. You know, forget this whole, you know, super smart serial killer, mm-hmm. you know, and then a not super smart serial killer killing people.
Mm-hmm. You want to know more about the poodle?
Yes.
Little baby poodle.
It was a fat poodle.
It was a tiny poodle that was very fat. So yeah, it was like chub. A toy poodle, like a little one.
Oh, okay. It's precious.
And it was.
I would describe it as precious.
I would describe it as portly.
Okay. Do you have any serious topics to make, or is this the next hour of our lives?
I mean, I was going to mention something. Uh-oh. I lost it. Oh, I made a mistake. It talks about how... I've seen things say like, oh, Hannibal Lecter doesn't at all fit the profile of a serial killer and blah, blah, blah. But Buffalo Bill or James Gum, which is the hardest name to pronounce in the world.
James Gum?
Who is the serial killer that they're trying to catch.
Mm-hmm.
They were inspired by three real life serial killers. You ready? You gonna guess who they are? Incorrect.
Frankie Muniz.
Frankie Muniz, Shia LaBeouf, and...
No, Shia LaBeouf had to have been Hannibal, because he's a cannibal.
Oh, that makes sense. An actual cannibal.
The actual cannibal, Shia LaBeouf.
Okay, the three are...
Right.
Ed Gein.
Oh.
Who skinned his victims.
Right.
Ted Bundy, who used a cast on his hand to bait women into helping him.
Didn't he also eat people?
Ted Bundy, no.
No.
You're thinking of the other one.
The other one, right.
And the last one is... Gary Heidnik, who kept women he kidnapped in a pit in his basement.
A pit.
What's the name of the guy that ate people?
He's the other big one.
Wow.
Edgar Wright.
Ted?
Sullivan.
Darn. This is going to drive me crazy.
You do your thing. You talk about the movie and the lighting and whatnot, and I will... Look it up.
Yeah, the lighting was good. You know what I found most interesting about this movie? Was the use of close-ups.
I thought there it was aggressive.
Very intentional close-ups, and there were like a lot in the beginning and then only a few in maybe the second half of the movie. But whenever they happened, I was like, oh, we're doing a close-up. What does this mean? I never figured it out, but I did think it was interesting. And it did look really nice on the TV.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Dahmer.
Dahmer Chevrolet.
Horse. J Dom.
He's a cannibal.
Yeah.
Is he the one that was supposed to be super hot? I was just looking at a picture of him.
Ted Bundy's the hot one.
Ted Bundy hot one?
Yeah.
Let me look at Ted Bundy.
He also got dead shark eyes.
Does he got dead shark eyes?
Yeah, people talk about how his eyes change color.
Oh.
So if he's mad, his eyes will go like dark, like black, and then he'll have like blue eyes. Real creepy.
I don't know if he's like, I feel like I've heard girls be like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at his eyes. I'm looking at his face. Does Zac Efron play him in a movie?
In an upcoming movie.
Zac Efron's way more attractive than him.
Yeah. You know who the Murder Podcast listened to? They always said it should have been... What's his name?
James Gunn?
Ed Kemper?
Ed Kemper.
Is that right? Or is that just a different serial killer? It's going to be a different serial killer.
Look at another serial killer. Definitely a different serial killer.
Dang it. What's the name of this guy? Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Is it the guy who played... No. It's him being portrayed in a different movie.
Greg Kinnear. Greg, he would have been the perfect Kinnear. Ted Bundy, but now he's like old, so it'd probably be hard to do.
But how do you spell Greg? Nope, never mind. Found it. Greg Kinnear. Oh, yes.
Doesn't he look a lot more Ted Bundy-y?
Yes, he does. He's still more attractive, but almost exactly like
he's like the nice version of Ted Bundy. And Ted Bundy's like the evil version of.
He's like half Greg a point Kinnear. Ahead of Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Right. He got that. He got the jaw. You know, like the face shape that's like here.
Plus, he's missing like the unibrow.
Does he have a what?
Ted Bundy in some of the pictures. Oh, yeah. He's got pretty heavy uni.
Brand. You are sucking my wiener right now. He has a...
Oh.
A unibrow? Oh, I see. The high school picture.
There it is. Yeah, they very... Amazing. They're just kissing. They're just, you know, they're not like fully merged together, but they're just...
It's like my unibrow if I don't get it every so often. Anyway, so this... Classic film, beloved by literally millions of people, especially Roger Ebert.
Mm. It's a great movie.
Tear it apart, Cody.
What would you get? This is what would you guess this is? IMDb top 500. Where would you put this?
17.
User rated. 17, you say?
Yep.
It's close. 23.
No.
5 Oscar wins. I think 7 nominations.
Did Anthony Hopkins win?
Yeah. Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster. It might have got better Best Director too, Best Adapted Screenplay, and you know, something else.
Let me hit you with a hard hitting question here, Cody.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Do you like Jodie Foster?
I do. Yeah. Hmm. I take it you despise her.
I don't despise her. I definitely don't enjoy her nearly as much as it seems like most of the world does.
Hmm.
What's his face shot the president over her when she was but a child?
What?
What's
happening?
Someone, which president was it? Was it Reagan?
Reagan?
Yeah, the guy, he's like, I did it to impress Jodie Foster.
Well, I was talking to one of my friends, and his dad was like,
he was not allowed
to watch this movie because. His wife got jealous of his crush on Jodie Foster.
Oh.
But she was like the it girl that day.
She's a succubus.
People didn't know then that she was a lesbian.
Is she a lesbian? So I think
some of the appeal is withdrawn now because it's like, well, what does she want to do with me? I'm not a woman.
Yeah, I didn't know she was a lesbian.
I'm pretty sure if not, sorry, Jodie, to assume your sexuality.
How my dare bad. You? Unless you're correct, and then how dare you?
You're welcome.
She has a tiny face.
Yeah. So what?
I end my statement.
Did she not do a good performing?
No, she did all right.
Okay, how about this? The last scene when she's alone in the house with the serial killer.
Yeah.
Didn't she nail it? The panic face?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say she did well?
Yeah.
Just not that well. Are you saying she's a good actress but not that attractive? Or are you saying she's just an okay
actress? I'm just saying it's like she's an okay, she's pretty good at everything. You know, she's pretty good looking. She's a pretty good actress. But it's just like, it seems weird how obsessed everybody seemed to be with her for like that window in the 90s. You know?
Yeah. All right. Jodie Foster, shots fired. Come find Tyler. Fight him.
Yeah. She's what, like 4 feet tall? Weighs like 80 pounds? Sounds I'm take her. She looks very small in this movie.
Yeah, I think she is.
She is a small person. Anthony Hopkins is somehow 75 years old in this movie. What's the deal with that?
Anthony Hopkins looked pretty fit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He looked like he could rip me in half, but he still looked old.
Yeah. Pretty interesting mix.
Cody, how much box office versus budget do you think this was?
Budget maybe is a, I don't know, early 90s, maybe a 35 mil.
Okay.
Box office maybe like 280 mil.
Let me double check the numbers here. Just cause, okay, so budget, a surprisingly well spent $19 million.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And then 272 for that.
Hey, I was
box office, you're there.
Close.
You're right there.
Wow. I'm getting good.
Yeah. All right, so on to your second note, Cody.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When this movie started, did you notice how many eagle screeches there were?
Was there a lot?
Yeah, in the very beginning, she's playing the music. She's running through the obstacle course in the woods, doing her FBI training.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I can't do it. My voice is shot.
Like that?
Like, I counted at least four in the first 2 minutes. I was like, how many eagles are there?
It's America.
I just want to know if you had noticed it, and apparently you didn't.
No, I did
not. You didn't even notice one.
It was so subtle.
There were at least four. I'm going to have to rewatch the beginning of this movie because it just kept... I was like... And they were so close to each other, too. I was like, you get one, then like 10 seconds later, you get another one. You're like, what? All right.
I would be interested to watch it back, and they're not eagle screeches at all. They're like completely different sound effects.
Like moose bellows?
Yeah. Or just her panting or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's with these eagle screeches?
It's her sneaker squeaking when she runs through some puddles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So what? Did you like this movie? This is your first time seeing it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. This is a good one. I was into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I noticed a lot of good things, like just talking about like her being a woman, and even later on when she's talking to Hannibal Lecter, he mentioned it, like, you feel people's eyes like looking over you. And
yeah, he's trying, spoiler, he's trying to be like, he wants the skin to make a woman's suit so he can be a woman because they wouldn't tuck his penis up inside of him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just interesting, like, even in the beginning, towards the beginning, so she gets sent to the Baltimore prison to go interview Hannibal Lecter and see if he'll fill out this questionnaire or whatever.
Right.
And the psychiatrist that, like, runs the psychiatric ward of the thing.
Can I pause you one for a second? 1 second here?
But yeah, pause it.
In any movie where there has ever been a psychiatric hospital / prison hospital, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You adjusted your glasses. You put them closer to the end of your nose, so I know you're going to say something really smart.
Has the doctor, psychologist, psychiatrist, warden, whatever person,
mm-hmm,
ever been a good guy? Ever?
Easy answer? Never once, even a little bit.
Right.
More complicated answer? There isn't one. What? I'm just saying, like, there's no other answer. That's it.
Yeah.
They're always the bad guy.
Like, I have to imagine that in real life, they're all these, like, super sweet, 80-year-old guys, like grandpas, that'll be like, "Oh, you're so you're just got, misunderstood." As the guy's like eating
and butterscotch in their pocket, and
yeah, like literally a guy's like reaching for him with a knife as orderlies restrain him, and he's like, "Oh, you're misunderstood. You're just a troubled youth."
Yeah, you know? That like, I've noticed that as well.
Because you would think the guy who, like, the kinds of dudes who, because I know in history, the famous people in those jobs tend to be psychopaths themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say overall, if you dedicate your career as a highly trained psychologist or psychiatrist, whichever one's the real doctor.
Psychiatrist?
Yeah. To, like, trying to help people who do horrible things and like understand why they do it so that you can help people who might be going down that path avoid it.
Yeah.
You're probably a pretty good person. It's just the people you know about and hear about in like news and books are the people who did awful things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe they're all bad people.
They probably are.
If you're a doctor, warden, evil villain dude, tweet at us.
Add opinion havers.
Yeah.
Tell me how terrible you are. Yeah. Like, this guy in this movie was particularly terrible because she goes there and she's like, "I'm going to see the guy." And he's like, "Are you staying overnight? Baltimore can be a really, really fun town if you have the right guy." And you're like, "Whoa, are you making, like, a sexual innuendo at this lady you just met?"
I mean, it was weird. It was aggressive.
Yeah, it was.
But it wasn't like he's like, "CX." He was like, "Hey, you know, this would be a fun place if you want to spend it with somebody who's like,
me,
knows where to go and stuff."
I mean,
it which I feel pretty... like it's like his attempt to be smooth and ask her out. He just isn't a smooth. He's an evil guy.
It got real creepy.
So he can't be smooth.
I'm just saying, got real creepy real fast.
Yeah, the fact that they kept the shot on him for a really,
it was
really
the close
long time
up while he said it, you're like, okay,
and close
okay,
up,
yeah,
is weird.
Bad boy.
But he never does anything. The like thing that they use to be like, "Nah, he's a terrible person," is Hannibal's like, "They're gonna, when you leave, they're gonna turn the volume up on the TV. He loves his little tortures," or something like that. I'm like,
yeah.
So you killed a dude, or convinced a dude to kill himself,
mm-hmm.
and it. They made you watch gospel programming.
Yeah.
How dare he? Let's kill him, you know? So really, he never did anything bad. He caught them lying and saw an opportunity to offer the same deal for real and advance his career while also saving somebody. And yeah, so he never really,
I mean,
does
really,
anything
though,
evil.
Is that,
but
is that your clinical end. Solution to fixing someone, punish, like to put on a televangelist?
Look, dude, it was the 40s, you know? Whatever, this is set. Who cares? Whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is he never does anything actually bad.
He's sitting
but
there
when,
like,
at the end when he says,
"He's
I'm
lying
having
down on
an
the
old
bench
friend,"
and is like, "Oh, I hate you, Hannibal Lecter. You're the worst." And you're like,
"He is the worst."
Okay, he's the worst, yeah.
Hannibal Lecter's a serial killer that eats
people. You are
his
doctor.
He's not his doctor. He's his jailer.
He's a psychiatrist.
Yeah, but I mean, he's in jail.
He's a psychiatrist.
He's in a glass box.
I just really question his
Baltimore
treatment methods.
I don't think he's treating anybody. I think he's messing with them because no one cares. Anyway. At the end, he's going to eat him, and I was very happy about it.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I just, Hannibal, all of Hannibal Lecter's writing was so good, and Anthony Hopkins delivers it so well. So memorable.
If Mickey Rourke had played Hannibal Lecter, not Mickey Rourke, he was dead by then, or very old.
Mickey Rourke?
I'm thinking of...
Mickey Rourke dead?
Is he dead? I thought he was dead.
Keep going. Who is the guy you were thinking of?
Who's the guy who plays Whiplash?
J.K. Simmons.
No, not that Whiplash. The guy, the supervillain Whiplash in
yeah, about
Iron
a
Man 2.
Movie? Mickey Rourke?
Is it Mickey Rourke?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Mickey Rooney, who's that's who I thought I said when I said Mickey Rourke. If Mickey Rourke had played Hannibal Lecter, do you think this movie would have been as good?
I think it would have been worse.
I think it would have been 1,000 times better. I think there would be Hannibal Lecter action figures.
Uh-huh. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Just kids playing with Hannibal Lecter action figures? Yeah.
Have you seen Mickey Rourke? He's a lovable grandma. Oh. Just look up a picture of Mickey Rourke.
I just did. I looked him up to make sure he's still alive.
Yeah, he's alive. I was thinking of Mickey Rooney, who is dead, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably.
Mickey Rourke looks like a grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got kind of grandma hair because he keeps his hair long, but it's gray, so you're like...
Oh. He's also got the grandma body, like a slightly overstuffed tube of cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. That's it. That's the end of the...
It's the end of your Mickey Rourke rant.
Yeah. Rant. That's, I mean, there's no rant to it. It's just kind of facts.
It's just Mickey Rourke facts?
Yeah. It's just a dude who's like, at one point, one of probably the most beautiful people to have ever walked this earth, and now it's that. Huh. So Hannibal Lecter and Buffalo Bill.
Here's what I liked about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're both so creepy. In different ways. Yeah. Hannibal Lecter is so calculating, and he's got this psychiatry training, and he'll just pick at you and ask these questions and infer things about you, and he really enjoys that, and he's never not composed. But mm-hmm. then Buffalo Bill is so emotional, and he's not that same kind of smart, but he is, like, cunning in that he has, you know, captured and killed and skinned 5 women. You know?
Yeah.
You know, just really, and he's so unstable. Yeah, just really cool seeing the 2 different murderer guys.
Yeah.
Be so creepy in different ways. Loved it.
Yep. It was a good one.
Oh.
It was interesting. It was almost like Hannibal describes the work of Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. Because
he's the guy who killed the head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it almost seemed like he... I'm trying to just think of how to say it. It's like... He thought of him starting to kill the same way, like, you'd think of, like, a little kid trying to walk. He's like, oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. This little thing doing is killing this guy, trying to put lipstick on him. That's cute. It's cute that he did that. I'm going to keep it as a keepsake.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to sick tiny face Jodie Foster on him.
Oh, man. All right. What's your favorite Hannibal Lecter moment from this movie?
What's the sergeant's name?
Sergeant.
Something?
Something, yeah.
When he's like, ready when you are, he puts his hands to the bars.
Yeah.
And then when he's going to eat him. But he doesn't eat him. He just cuts his face off. And he says, ready when you are, sergeant, whatever.
Yeah. It's like,
I was like, oh, that or the I'm having an old friend for dinner.
That's, line. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's iconic. He's got long hair, long flowing, beautiful locks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go eat Dr. Furcoat.
I think, yeah, those are both so good. I just love that way to end a movie. Just such a good, you know, I'm having an old friend for dinner. And you're like, oh, that means something different to you than it does to everyone else.
And apparently... In the trivia, it says that scene continues through the entirety of the credits. But I think it does. It's like zooming out, so it doesn't like follow them.
Yeah.
But the whole credits.
It's a one-er of that whole thing playing out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I think my favorite probably is when Hannibal Lecter gets, you know, so Clarice is, goes to try to get the last bit of information she can out of him before she gets kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pulling her away, and she, like, breaks free of the police for a second to go and grab something from Hannibal Lecter. He's, like, handing her back the case files, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, grazes her finger with his finger. And it's just so creepy. I loved it.
Yeah. It was very sensual. The sexual tension.
Oh, man. Yeah, and how he would just
cut,
like,
it with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
You cut it with a pencil.
Such
or
an
a
intimate
pen cap.
Moment. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It was good. I did like the, how the ending was so, such a good ending, but it also, like, it was such a perfect end cap to it, like, nah, it's over, story's done. It was also, like, the perfect way to end it and be like, yeah, they can make more cool movies about him, and then they didn't make more cool movies, they made more movies, though.
Did make more movies about him.
And you've seen them all, and you love them.
Every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Even Stoneface.
Stoneface. I'm going to have to look at the full list of these movies.
There's only, like,
there's
the Hannibal. Four.
Yeah, is there's... Hannibal the same as Hannibal Rising?
No, Hannibal Rising is the fourth one.
There's Red Dragon.
Red Dragon's the third one. So Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, Red Dragon, and then Hannibal Rising.
Okay. I remember my dad went to see one of... it must have been Hannibal Rising when I was a kid. And I was like, isn't that like a horror movie about a guy eating a cannibal? And I think it was because I don't know if Saw had come out yet.
It was probably Hannibal, actually. Hannibal came out in 2001.
Yeah, so was one of them supposed to be, like, more of a horror movie, or was it just, like, a thriller? But, anyway,
I think Hannibal's a lot more of, like, because it's him actively killing people.
I just remember thinking, like, oh, Hannibal Lecter is, like, Jason or Freddy or Mike Myers or any of those other, like, horror movie slasher film killers. But that's not what this movie is, you know?
No, he's way sexier. Did you know Jason X is in, like, 100 years in the future?
I did know that, yeah.
It blew my mind the other day.
Yeah, they're like in space, on a spaceship.
Yeah, it's like archaeology students de-thaw him on an Earth that's devoid of life.
Yeah.
Something like that. They're on a field trip, basically. Hannibal came out in 2001. I was right.
Wow.
Hashtag, oh my gosh, do you know who directed Hannibal?
Who?
Ridley Scott.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I'm telling you. It's amazing to see what he's directed.
It's just his name. It just pops up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. Directed by Ridley Scott. Wow. Julianne Moore's in it. Gary Oldman's in it. Frankie Faison's in it.
Yeah, they do have really good casts for the sequel to this
Hans
movie.
Hans Zimmer did the music.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer does a lot of Ridley Scott's.
It made $350 million.
Made more money than the good one.
I mean, let's be honest, it was the good one.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Ask me
this.
As
someone who's seen this movie for the first time.
Yes.
So, they get the information of who the serial killer is, who Buffalo Bill, his true identity.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster gets on the phone with her police chief, captain, FBI, director, leader guy.
Stick.
Yeah, the guy who goes on to play Stick.
Yeah.
Who's very handsome, by the way.
Yeah.
He's on the phone, he's like, hey, I learned this information. They're like, yeah, we already know.
But they didn't.
We're on the way to his house. Did it blow your mind or not blow your mind? So they cut together the FBI team going to the door.
Did you almost call it a hut?
Hmm?
Nothing.
I might have. They cut that together with Jodie Foster knocking to just do some more investigating in the hometown where the first girl disappeared.
Yeah, she went to go talk to Mrs. What's-Her-Face.
So James Gum opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the FBI people.
No, it's
Jodie
not.
Foster. Did that Jodie throw you? Foster. Did you see it coming? Did you not see it coming?
After it happened, I remember like, oh, this is like a thing where the whole team's at a different house. But I didn't remember it until after he'd opened the door. And I was like,
so they got you.
They got me.
It's such a good aha moment. You're like, oh no, the next 10 minutes of this movie are going to go terribly.
It's been, what, 30 years of that scene being spoiled by every thing?
Yeah.
Ever?
And it's still played.
Still got me.
I have another question.
Still went, oh!
How do you think they pick? Okay, two questions. So, FBI, they use a flower guy for cover, right?
Right.
Guy with flowers knocked on the door. Two questions. One, was that a real flower guy? Or did they just get one of the guys from their FBI squad or whatever to dress up as a flower guy? If so, how do they pick which guy in the squad is going to be flower guy?
Flower guy is the black guy.
That's how you pick?
Yeah. Here's the thing I want to ask you about. Yeah. Did you notice how they were all standing in the street with their guns out in a line, and then the flower truck pulled out, and then they took cover behind it like they weren't going to get noticed? And I'm like, you've been in the street for a while.
They just...
If they were going to notice you, they've noticed you. Okay?
I don't know. I think here's what I'm going to do, Tyler.
Do this thing.
I'm going to apply to the FBI to be their decoy boy.
You're going to go
whatever they need. I'll dress up as cupcake delivery guy. I'll dress up as pizza delivery guy. I'll dress up as flower guy. I'll be that guy.
You know what it all started with?
What?
Was in Blazing Saddles when the guy invented the candygram. Mm-hmm. Candygram for Mr. Mongo, right?
Right.
And he even talked about it. He's like, you're never going to get credit for it because he's a black man. But that's how they credit them. That's how they credit him.
Yeah.
Is whenever they have that person, because that's the person that's going to get shot, so they're fine with it anyway. It's always going to be a black man.
Wow. Some real FBI corruption there.
Yeah.
In the credits, he was just credited as Flower Guy.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, maybe
Special
he
Agent
was.
Flower Guy.
Maybe he was just a local Flower Guy. They were like, hey, can you help us out?
I think you're expecting a lot from the credits of this movie.
Does the FBI... That's what it was a flower van.
Yeah.
Do they just have those? Like, does every FBI headquarters have just, like, several decoy vans?
No, they stole it.
And it was just, like, oh, a very generic, like, we're obviously pretending to be a flower van. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think they stole it.
They commandeered the van.
No, they stole it. They broke in the middle of the night.
They went to a flower shop, broke the window of it, hotwired the car, and
yeah,
went to James Gum's house.
They also kidnapped the black man that worked there, ran him through FBI training on the way there so that he could be an FBI agent by the time they got there.
It's just like deputizing somebody.
What is the name of the place where the FBI does all their training?
Camp.
Quantico. Got it. Nailed it. Moving on. What was your next point?
I don't have much else to say. I mean, how taut were your buttocks during the last scene when she's going through Buffalo Bill's basement trying to find him? So it's just her. There's no backup. She's going through the basement. What were your thoughts?
So here's what my thoughts. Not as well as it probably did at the time when the movie first came out.
Right.
Because now it seems like it's very overdone. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I disagree.
That she's over, that everything's a little too much.
I respect your opinion, but go ahead. I disagree with you. You're wrong.
Do I need to move through? No, I can't go through the house the way that she would. I would break your doors off the hinges.
I don't know. I mean, that's a fair point.
You know, how when you're in a serial killer house and you're trying to move around stealthily and you're like kicking open a door and shouting at someone to be quiet.
Well,
nonstop.
Are you supposed to just creep open the door? Aren't you supposed to make the big entrance where you kick open the door? So
okay, so there's two ways to clear a room. There's the explosive energy, and then there's the silent entry, right? So you come in, you try to sweep the room silently so people don't notice you, or you open, you kick it open, you fart, you throw in a flashbang, you start firing wildly, you try to scare them all a little bit. So you fart. That's the reason for the fart. You hear the return fart. You know there's people in there because they're gonna do it. Okay. So yeah, but
yeah,
it was more like she didn't. Yeah, she just kind of opened the doors really fast. Like I was like, oh, is it gonna like come back that she's being super cautious about corners and stuff? Because there was that scene earlier where they're doing the training where the guy's like, "You're dead because you didn't clear your corner."
Yeah.
But she didn't clear corners a lot, and it didn't come back at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Well.
I mean, I think it played.
It was for no Get Out, okay?
I think it played for me because it. I mean, she was just a trainee in over her head all alone.
Yeah.
And so her being that nervous and not doing that kind of a job, that makes a lot of sense. Like, she is not qualified for this yet. But. I don't know. I really liked it. I saw this, the first time I saw this movie was like college roommates, and one of my roommates, bless his heart, I like had never seen a movie as intense as this.
Oh dear.
And throughout the movie, he just slowly slid down from the couch to the edge of the couch. And by this point at the end of the movie, when she's going through, he was literally on the floor in the fetal, almost in the fetal position with one hand over one eye, just like stressed out of his mind. And it was really entertaining to watch.
Yeah. I will say she she nailed that feel, making you feel stressed out. Cause she did, like, you know, like you said, she really nailed the, she's freaking out vibe. So
I thought it was going to come up to, and like, it's funny because it just keeps escalating it, because first you're like, oh no, the FBI is going to catch him. And then you're like, oh no, it's her talking to him. And then she realizes it's him because there's a moth in the house, and that whole thing happens. Yeah. Then he runs downstairs. And like, well, now you're in his world now. Yeah. And there's a pit with a woman in it.
How big was his basement, dude?
It was enormous.
House is like three rooms tops. Yeah. Okay. And then the basement's like a labyrinth.
Huge. And then, but then at the end, then he kills the lights because he has night vision goggles as established when he was stalking American Girl.
Yeah, because he's a winner at life.
It was so, I don't know, I just thought it was a great way of like heightening it. And then you're like, then it's just watching Jodie Foster and night vision like freaking out even more, trying to like feel her way around a room. It was a great scene. Really good.
Yeah.
Great scene.
I thought the decision to do a shortcut away from her freaking out to him fairly well illuminated, to be like, just so we're established, yes, he is wearing the night vision goggles.
But isn't like, that the scariest close? Like, of all the close-ups they show, that last close-up where it's him with the goggles on, and you can just barely make him out, isn't that so creepy?
I thought it was like, I was like looking, I was like, I thought it was kind of a weird cut to make.
I liked it. I was into it.
Because to me, it came across as like night vision goggles come on. You see her. You see like hands coming out. To kind of like, oh, I want to touch it. No, don't touch it. Touch it. No, just a little bit. No, don't touch it. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, now we need to establish in this moment that this is Buffalo Bill. And he is wearing the night vision goggles.
I don't think they did it to establish it.
Okay, I mean, I got that.
But it was so creepy. It was such a good shot. Like, after all the close-ups they did, that was the last one they did, and it was perfect.
I was not a huge fan of the close-ups.
Looked so good.
I was a huge fan of the close-up usages.
Well, you know who disagrees with you?
You?
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts Awards, or whatever. Yeah, they liked this.
It seems like every year they snub the film you think should have won, though.
Not this last year.
So I feel
year.
Like you,
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the year Silence of the Lambs won Best Picture, and we're going to see.
Your favorite movie is going to be like an opposite or something.
I haven't seen any movie from before 2000.
How dare you?
All right, here we go. I'm here. I'm looking at it.
What? What? The competition.
At it. Winners and nominees.
It was taking forever.
All right. Nominees. Best Picture, 1992.
Right.
Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Bugsy.
What the heck was that?
It's about Bugsy.
Is it the horror movie about a rabbit?
Yeah. JFK, which mm-hmm. I've heard is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seinfeld talks a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Prince of Tides with Barbra Streisand, which I've never heard of. Oh, it has a steamy cover, though. Look at this. Barbra Streisand's all cuddled up with this guy on a beach.
Oh, my God.
Nick Nolte. Barbra Streisand. It's the story of a narrator's struggle to overcome the psychological damage inflicted by his dysfunctional child in South Carolina. Streisand directed it. What?
Here's a question
for
you.
Bradley Cooper directed, starred, and produced. Wow. All right. What? Sorry. Go ahead.
What is Hollywood's obsession with Barbra Streisand?
All right. Number one. Have you seen Young Barbara? Have you seen Young
yes.
Barbra Streisand? 1960s Barbra Streisand?
Yes.
She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She can tell a joke.
Can't she?
She can sing. She can't is she? In what I think is might be the funniest movie of all time.
Yeah, was she?
It's called What's Up, Doc?
Mm.
And she's hilarious.
Was she, though?
She's hilarious in Hello, Dolly.
Is she?
She's literally in a movie called Funny Girl.
Mm.
And...
But was she the funny girl? Hold on.
There's more. She's Jewish.
She is very Jewish.
So, I mean, what are you going
to
do?
I would say she's probably 4 to 5 inches of Jewish.
As opposed to the normal...
I don't know. How. You have a tape measure? Measure your nose.
Oh.
Look, dude, if you want to point to a stereotypical Jewish nose, you're going to pull up Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, and she's
beautiful. It's aggressive. It's in your face.
She's beautiful. Tyler.
Her nose is in my face, and she's in California. Okay? Let me take you back to American Dad, where they make a joke about this.
I can hear.
Similar thing.
All of our Jewish listeners unfollowing us.
All the Jewish listeners. I'll have you know I was born and raised in Jew. Where Barbra Streisand does Celine Dion.
Uh-huh.
Barbara does Celine.
Okay.
It's a concert. One night only. Pay-per-view. $499. Roger needs to see this pay-per-view. There's a whole thing. They're doing paintball. He kidnaps and tortures Stan. Whatever. Steve has PTSD. Side note, he gets an Ortolan.
Is this a real episode of something?
Yes, it is. He gets an Ortolan and gets Francine to cook it. You have to drown it in Chardonnay, bring it back to life, and then drown it in Dom Perignon or something, right? He eats it under a napkin, gets high, sees a giant CG fat version of himself, gets breathed on, everything's super colorful, concert's over, best night of his life.
I regret all of this recap. So it sounds like
how much would you pay for a Barbra Streisand Celine Dion sex tape? Because that is also brought up in the episode.
What?
Would it depend on how it showed up on your credit card?
Is this a show that's on TV?
Yes.
Is it still running?
It's on TBS currently.
Is it still new episodes still?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes. While this is happening, I will remind you they are reenacting the Vietnam War on a golf course.
So, all right.
Also, he can sing the Star Spangled Banner better.
13 seasons. 14 seasons. Wow.
Barbara does Celine. One night only.
Think.
Can I tell you what Barbra Streisand's line is?
Yeah.
The only line. So she comes out, she's like, you know, Celine Dion is in the audience tonight, everybody. She's like, shut up. She's amazing, but I'm better. And then she starts singing Celine Dion. And I loved that part of it.
That is funny. I told you, she can tell a joke.
Yeah.
Did she voice herself on that?
I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised, but I also feel like it was very... It's hard to say, because I feel like it was the voice was someone making fun of her voice, but I don't know if it was her voice or not.
I mean, her voice...
Is her voice, like, super...
Yes.
Nasally?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so it might have been her.
It could have been her. Interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Also, like, those Seth MacFarlane shows, they make references to so many celebrities, there's no way they're putting all of them in the show.
Well, I think, I mean, like, there are lots
even
of...
Even, like, fairly obscure, celebrities. Like, James Woods and stuff.
James Woods, I think, voices himself, though.
Yeah.
So does Elijah Wood. Wow. But I just realized Elijah Wood is in an episode with James Woods. You think they're related?
I know they're related.
Oh, my gosh.
They're second cousins.
What?
Yeah.
What are your feelings on Elijah Wood?
I'll tell you what I know about him. I know he's beautiful, I know he's small, and I know he smokes.
He does do all those things.
Want to know how I know he smokes?
Snokes?
Yep.
As in Star Wars?
He is Snokes. He's the stand-in for Snokes. When Andy Serkis wasn't on set, he would stand in there so they could do his lighting and stuff and keep his marks.
Have you seen the theory that Snoke was one of the younglings?
That
Anakin failed to kill?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
My friend Beth worked in Hollywood as a temp. And she met Elijah Wood doing that. And he was smoke. He smelled like smoke.
Yeah, he does smoke a lot. He smokes several packs a day.
So anyway, one of the younglings that Anakin murdered comes back to life and becomes Snoke?
It's like he, because he just like was swinging. He wasn't really paying attention. He was just kind of swinging the lightsaber. Like, you know? Because I guess, his head shape is very like exactly the same as... the one that's like, Master Skywalker, what are we going to do? You know,
yeah.
That one. And he's like, and then kills them all, right? So it's like that one. People are like, if you take this head and you bald it and put a lightsaber scar in its head, it is Snoke's head. And I'm like, oh my gosh. What?
Of course.
I was like, that'd be a very aggressive change.
You make enough movies, there's a fan theory for anything.
Here's the thing, though.
What?
What was the cause of the scar in his head? Will we ever know? Or did What's-His-Face ruin it? Because he had to do something different. And by doing the different thing, he did the thing everybody expected him to do. Kylo killed him, though. That was pretty cool. I liked that.
I didn't like that. Everyone liked it.
Yeah. I feel like at the time, most of the people I was talking to were very disappointed in it. And now that I talk to people, and they're all like, I love that part. I'm like, I'm glad I have new friends now. Glad I got those haters out of my life. Touch me. Cody, I need you to reach for me.
All right.
Reach. Reach so that you may touch. Yes. We've touched our fingers together. I may have dislocated my shoulder very slightly.
Tyler, I have nothing else to say about this film. Except that I would recommend it.
So, instead of the screaming of the lambs, we might soon hear silence?
Yes.
I like this movie a lot. You should definitely go watch it. It's definitely not it's not super scary, it's just good.
Yeah, it's thrilling. It's intense.
You get to see a serial killer cry as he starts to see the person as a human being instead of an animal. Or an it. Or a thing.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very impactful.
That was good. I mean, everyone's performances in this were just wonderful.
Let's go see it. Cody, if people want to tweet at you their Star Wars fan theories... Where how would they do such a thing?
You get on the Twitter.
Right.
You type in at.
I don't have a Twitter. Now what?
Opinion Havers. You get a Twitter.
Okay. I don't have internet. What do I do now?
What?
I don't have internet either.
Oh, then you attach a letter to a carrier pigeon. You whisper.
I don't know how to write.
You whisper my name in its ear, its little ear, and then you send it off.
Oh, okay. So all I have to do is tell a pigeon to find you.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
Good.
And what if they want to recommend this podcast to friends?
Do you find it on the place that you're listening to it right now? Or on other podcast services all over the tri-state area? We're on PodGuru. We're on CouchCast. We're on the HomePod. I don't know. I made those up. Those are probably real services, though, you know? The iTunes, the Google Play, the Google Podcast. That's the same as Google Play. Same as Apple Podcasts. Stitcher. All the things. Stitcher. Others. My watch started recording when I was saying, how dare you, Google.
What is that even? Your watch?
Yeah.
Are you a spy? Why would you need that?
My watch? It was doing a voice-to-text thing.
Oh, okay.
How dare you?
You said it was recording. I was like,
it was recording.
A voice recorder in your watch?
I do.
For why?
Because.
Corporate espionage?
Don't question me. Question and have your opinions on movies.
And watch the movies, too.
You gotta watch them to have the opinions. That was a terrible outro. Are we still recording?
I feel like your energy level was like on a whole different plane.
This is a down. This is a therapy session, Cody.
Tyler, I need you to tell me about your earliest childhood trauma.
Well, at age 6, I was born without a face.
Why were you born without a face, Tyler?
Because you cut it off and went...
Look at me. Look at your face. Look at me wearing your face.